Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I pray and hope that this has been the day that you have allowed God to enter into your heart. This is a day that He has allowed you to breathe and just allow the Holy Spirit to move with inside you. I pray that you would rejoice in the Lord and continue to give Him honor and praise and blessings. God is a God that truly loves you, but He wants you to love Him back. So thank you for your faithfulness, most of all, to our Father, Jesus Christ, our God, our one and only true God, being faithful to Him, but also being faithful to this ministry, Mission from the Heart. Now, you are going to be in for a treat today. We have a new teaching series that is going to be led by Minister Lakeisha Richmond, and the name of this teaching series today is A Set-Apart Life Surrounded by Sin. And I tell you, just the name of this series packs a punch. But let me ask you this question. What are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? That's the question. What are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? God is asking each this question, that a choice has to be made. The Bible says, according to Romans 12:1, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, this is too much to ask. Is this too much to ask?" According to the New Living Translation. So, the question is to you, what are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? So, my guest speaker, or actually, my guest host will be speaking concerning the title, A Set-Apart Life Surrounded by Sin. And she's not a stranger to this broadcast. She has taught a couple of other teaching series on the broadcast, and I encourage you to listen to them. You can scroll through our archives and listen to the broadcast that she's done in the past. But I want you to just prepare your hearts, pull your Bible out, and prepare your mind to receive what God has for you. And I am going to introduce and let Minister Lakeisha Richmond take this teaching lesson, A Set-Apart Life Surrounded by Sin, and move through the pages concerning her point in this teaching series. So, Lakeisha, if you could introduce yourself and just give us a hallelujah and praise the Lord, and we are going to come ready, willing, and able, and hungry and thirsty to receive this beautiful teaching lesson.
Amen. Amen. I'm Lakeisha Richmond, and I am happy to be with you on today, on this evening, this day. I thank God for the opportunity again to share the Word of God with you. It is not I do not count it lightly to be able to speak about God's word and to share his word with you. We're going to talk a little bit about a set apart life surrounded by sin. And again, it's already been referenced to you. It's coming from Romans 12 and 1. We're going to talk a little bit about living holy, which is a set apart life. Living holy, some might want to know, what is holy? What does it mean to be holy? It just simply means to be separate or cut off from sin. It implies two things you can think about it in this aspect: separation from sin and to cling to the Lord. Basically, it means to me just choosing another path. Thinking about, what would Jesus do in this instance? Would he partake in this, or would he forsake this? Amen. So living holy requires a couple things. The first thing it requires is a sacrifice. A sacrifice. The scripture reference has been read, but we'll read it again. I'm reading it from the NIV version. I'll be coming from Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. That's Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Sister Smith, if you don't mind, could you read it from the Amplified version? That's Romans 12, 1, verses 1 and 2.
Sure. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually, by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values, ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you.
Amen. So a couple things stood out in these verses. Number one is talking about living as a living sacrifice. We're going to be set apart from those things that are in this world, or those sinful things that are in this world. So there should be a change that takes place once you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's a change that has taken place. There's a change of your mindset. There's a change in your choices that you make. There's a change in the way you live according to the scripture. Now, you may ask, what does sacrifice mean? A sacrifice is defined as anything consecrated, and consecrated, which means set apart and offered to God. So a sacrifice is defined as anything that's set apart and offered to God. So you may say, how can I set apart? How can I be separate and offer myself unto God? Well, you can, amen, choose a different path. If you're, just say, if you're accustomed to lying, you can start telling the truth. If you're accustomed to lusting after your brother or your sister in Christ, then you can ask God to help you in that area, and you can become stronger and learn how to just focus more on the Word of God. and be able to feel that which is empty inside of you. Amen. We talk a lot about set apart and separate. Set apart and separate. So a set apart life surrounded by sin. A set apart life and separate means it's going to be a change. It's a difference. You're in a different place in your life. Amen. We let's go to Romans the 6th chapter. Romans the 6th chapter, verses 11 through 13. And while we're turning there, the question was already posed to you: what are you willing to sacrifice to live holy? So what are you willing to separate from? What are you willing to separate or set apart in your life and offer to God? What part of your life are you willing to do that in? Amen. Are you willing to give up that boyfriend or living in sin and getting married? Are you willing to stop shacking? Amen. Are you willing to stop seeing that married man and believe God for your own husband? Amen. What are you willing to separate from and offer to God? So can you offer that part of your life to God? Maybe go instead of meeting with someone that's married, maybe taking that time and going to Bible study, or taking that time and laying out before God and crying out to Him and asking Him to fill the emptiness in your life and send you someone that will be your other half. Amen. Romans 6 chapter verses 11 through 13. Amen.
Romans
just
6,
turning
there. 11.
Romans 6, Romans 13.
I'll read that for you.
Okay, thank you.
In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
I was looking for the scripture to break down what is sin, and basically sin is all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Do you have a better definition, Sister Smith, of sin? I was looking for the scripture, for scripture.
Well, I know that sin, of course, as we all know, we were born in sin. And for those of us who don't know or who may not understand that we as a human race are born into sin, because the Bible tells us from the beginning in Genesis when Adam and Eve took and ate from a tree that was forbidden, then when they blatantly disobeyed God's command, then we learn that is at that point when sin fell into this world that we live in. And so sin came into this world because of disobeying what God commanded us to do. And so that illustrates how sin came into the world. But what sin states is that we disobey what God commands us to do. We choose to disobey what God commands us to do. And just as you've laid out the red carpet of this particular teaching series, it is spot on in utilizing those words to show what holy means and sacrifice means and how it is pleasing unto God. But the opposite of that, which is sin,
right,
that, of course, we know and we should know is pleasing to Satan because he's the father of lies and he instigates and stirs up a sinful nature, sinful acts. And, of course, sin is opposite of what we know, righteousness of God.
Amen.
So you go right ahead, Minister Keisha.
And I was looking at Romans 8, 11 to 13, and it reads, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." And that's just saying that if you reject sin, if you separate yourself from sin, you will live long. But sin, where sin is, sin, it brings about death. It brings about death. That was Romans 8, 11 through 13. Would you like to read it from the Amplified Bible?
Amen. And I will do that. Romans 8,
11 through 13.
Let me get my... And I just wanted to expound on with what you said concerning what the scriptures said concerning that passage. Sin, death. And that may not that's not being buried 6 feet deep in the ground. That's eternal death.
Right. Right.
Separate from God eternally. So Romans 8, starting in verse 11, and this is in the Amplified Translation, reads this way.
Yes.
And I'm starting at verse 11.
Yes.
"And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ, Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity to live according to the impulses of the flesh, our nature without the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, for if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting the death of sinful deeds of the body, you will really live forever."
Amen. 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 So when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And that gives you the power, that gives you the ability to make that choice. You have the power to make a choice to separate, to make a different choice, to separate or to be set apart from the world or from sin. It's as if you're on a diet, and a diet, and you're not eating any sweets, but you're faced with sweets when you go in the store, and you choose. You know, you may have a taste for some chocolate, per se, but you know if you eat that chocolate, you're going to break your diet. So what is it that causes you not to eat that chocolate? Not willpower, but it would be the Spirit of God. If we're talking about a spiritual diet as opposed to a regular mm-hmm. diet. So you have the Spirit of God living in you when you receive Christ. So you have that extra power to make the right choice. It's just as up to you to choose whether you partake or forsake in that. Amen? Did you have Amen. Something to say, Sister Smith?
Well, I think this is a good opportunity for us to just camp out for a few moments and not assume that every listener to this broadcast is a believer in Christ Jesus, meaning that they have accepted God as their Lord and Savior through salvation. Amen. So we want to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to you through a prayer of salvation. And it would not be fair for us to assume that all are saved. As we know, the lesson is a set-apart life surrounded by sin. And if you mm-hmm. haven't noticed, I hope that your eyes see all of the sin that surrounds us. And if you are in sin, then I plead with you to turn from those ways that are displeasing to God and accept his right hand, that you mm-hmm. will be holy and set apart, changed, renewed, and regenerated for eternal living. That's the promise. So, mm-hmm. Minister Lakeisha, if you could pray a prayer of salvation right now, that somebody would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior on this day, at this hour, that mm-hmm. They would have a right to the tree of life, and then we can yeah. further pursue our lesson. But we just need to do this.
Amen.
So if you could go into prayer. Now, again, it's not her words. It's your heart that transforms mm-hmm. you from old to new, from death to life. So prepare your heart and repeat after her.
Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So that would sound something, you use my words with your faith. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I confess with my mouth that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. In the name of Jesus, amen. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead, and I know that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are super excited that for those yeah. of you who may have prayed for somebody, interceded for somebody to receive salvation through praying, and for those who listened and repeated after Sister Lakeisha as she prayed those words, you receive by faith through your heart that Jesus now lives inside of you by way of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. Now, I encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church that you would be baptized by submersion of water, that you would display yourself as a Christ follower when you rise up, and that you would seek out a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class, that you would be discipled through the Word of God, that you would thirst after Him, that you would hunger after Him, for Him, that you would grow from a little bitty lamb to a beautiful, mature sheep. And this is the process of being a believer in Christ Jesus through discipleship, that you would grow and go in grace. Hallelujah and praise ye the Lord. Now that you have entered into the ark of salvation, you are now heaven bound. So believe that. Don't let Satan rob you of that, because it truly is a gift from God to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So we welcome you, and we are excited, and the angels rejoice today.
Amen.
As they do, for another one coming into the ark of salvation. Hallelujah. So, yes, Minister Smith, Minister Lakeisha, if you could continue with us and journeying through these beautiful scriptures illustrating and showing us holiness.
Amen. A separate, set-apart life surrounded by sin. We were talking about a living sacrifice. Some may want to know, what does a living sacrifice look like in the Bible? Let's turn to Genesis 22, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. It's Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, his only son. So we're looking at what a living sacrifice looks like in the Bible. Sister Smith, I'll read verses 1 through 7 if you'll take 8 through 14.
Sure.
This is Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here am I," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I would tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?"
Verse 8. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by his horn. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. 14. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord Will Provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.
Amen.
Amen.
So we see that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, but through his obedience, God provided him with a ram in the bush. And sometimes, have you ever been in a place of sacrificing something that you really wanted, or something that you really wanted, and God provided for you? Have you ever been at that point in your life? Amen. Have you, Sister Smith, ever been to the point in your life where you were willing to sacrifice something and God provided something for you?
Yes, I have been. And I tell you, it brings to mind when with one of my children. And it came to a point in my life, our life, in a situation. And it's amazing how God will use situations to show you yourself. To show
yes.
you how dependent we are, I was, on him, because there was nothing that I could do. Basically, my hands were tied, in a sense, if
mm-hmm.
you will. And my hands were tied because I could not do anything in my own human effort in this situation concerning my son. And so through that situation, that circumstance, God showed me that I had to choose trust and faith in him in order for him to provide the very blessing that was needed in this particular situation. So I had to choose to let go and let God, as
mm-hmm.
Abraham did with his son. He didn't
yes.
like the way it felt. I can just imagine his feelings at the time. I can just imagine
mm-hmm.
some of his thoughts that came and left, just as myself in my situation. And this
mm-hmm.
may be very well your situation. For those who are listening,
yes.
you may be in a predicament or a place where your hands are tied, your back is up against the wall, you don't know which way is out. You look up, you look down, you look forward, you look backwards, and you just can't see a way out. But God, through
yes.
faith and trusting him, obey. There's no other way but to trust and obey. And
Amen.
Then you will see a way. But when you trust him and when you obey him, just as myself, just as Abraham, he provided a way. And that way
Amen.
For Abraham was the ram in the thicket. And the way
yes.
for my circumstance or my situation was to believe by faith that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all I could even think or imagine. Yes, the tears
Amen.
Flowed. Yes, the heart was beating fast. But God provided peace, and he provided a way because I trusted and I obeyed. That
Amen.
Was my situation. And
Amen.
I tell you, it was a rejoicing. I gave him the glory. And that is what he wants from his children, that he gets
Amen.
The glory. Amen.
Amen. And he got the glory from Abraham, because he said, now, Abraham did say verse 5. So he had faith in God, because he said in verse 5, he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. So he knew, he had to know that God would provide that sacrifice for him, because he told his servants that they both were going to go worship and they were going to come back. Now that's some faith for him to have. Now he didn't know that ram was going to be in the bush, but he had faith in God that God would provide the sacrifice for him to say that they both would come back to them. Now God sacrificed his only son, which was Jesus, and we know that because the Bible tells us in John 3:16. If you turn now in John 3:16, he sacrificed his only son for us. Amen. For the whole world. And John 3:16, it reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. So he gave his only son for the whole entire world, if you believe in him, that you won't perish but you'll have eternal life. And Jesus in return sacrificed his life for the whole world. Amen. So God gave his son for us, and Jesus gave his life for us. So in that sacrifice, he set apart his son for us to be saved, so that we wouldn't have to die. If we believe on him, that we would have eternal life and we wouldn't experience eternal death. Amen. Do you have a better way of putting that, Sister Smith?
No, I tell you, that is spot on. God gave his son, Jesus gave his life, and for the world. And
Amen.
That, to me, is the most beautiful gift that keeps on giving. When we accept
Amen.
Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we cried out to him and surrendered it all to him, and our bodies are used for God's purpose and plan, that when we do that, when we surrender, then that's a gift that keeps on giving. And then
Amen.
Through God who gave, Jesus gave, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we give of ourselves, and that water just flows from bosom to bosom, breath to breath, to breath. And that's how the living water flows, that from generation to generation. The more that the word goes forth and it enters in and pierces the heart, and it stirs up the soul to surrender itself, and it becomes
Amen.
Conformed to God's call on your life, then that's when that gift, Jesus's sacrificial life on that cross, the perfect sacrificial lamb on that cross, it continues to flow from generation to generation. But you've got to choose. You've got to choose.
Amen. Amen.
So, yes, that is the most beautiful gift that has been given to man. And, of course, that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. I wanted to point out Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I wanted to point out a person in the Bible, a story in the Bible, rather, what it does not look like to conform to the patterns around you. So we in this world today, we see a lot of killing. We see a lot of short clothes. What else we see, Sister Smith? We see a lot of things that we don't have to conform to in this world today. So that means that we don't have to look like what we are around. We can still be a part of this world, but we can be separate and set apart by doing what's different, by looking different and changing the pattern of the world. Why we can't set an example for what our brother, our sister should look like, not condemning them, but if we can just dress different, look different, talk different, and be different around them, why couldn't we influence them instead of them influencing us? You ever think about that? Amen. If we can go to Genesis, the 19th chapter, we're talking about what does not conform and look like in the Bible. So we've been talking about what this gentleman, this man, Lot, he's not doing what the people in his town are doing. He's different. He's set apart. Amen. This is Genesis, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 29. So, Sister Smith, I'll read the first 14 verses. If you'll take verses 15 through 29.
Amen.
Verse 1. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did not go with him and entered his house. That they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Verse 4. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. Verse 10, but the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. Outcry to the Lord against his people is so great that he sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking.
Verse 15. With the coming of dawn, the angel urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who were here, or you will be swept away with the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hand of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my Lord, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look here. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to them, "Very well. I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you spoke of or speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." This is why the town was called Zoar. But the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. For the Lord out of the heavens, from the Lord out of the heavens, verse 25. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including those living in the city, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Verse 27, early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land in the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. Verse 29. So when God destroyed the city of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophic. I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble reading my text. He brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the city where Lot had lived. Mm-hmm. So,
man,
in this text, it has a lot of movement and a lot going on. But my goodness, God means. Move quickly when he says move quickly. Do it quickly.
Yes.
Don't procrastinate. Don't hesitate. Just move in the manner that he says move.
Right.
And thank God for his grace when he sent the angels to escort them out. And then he even showed grace upon grace in granting Lot his request to go elsewhere. And he granted that grace in addition to showing Abraham what he showed, bringing Lot out of a catastrophe into a safe place. Unfortunate for his wife, because that showed disobedience.
Yes.
And the consequences of our disobedience weighs heavy on our lives.
Yes.
Amen.
A great example of a set apart life surrounded by sin. So Lot didn't partake of the sins of the city. And we see that when he offered his daughters to the men. The men were coming for the other men in his house. And Lot wasn't partaking in that. He offered his daughters, which were virgins, to the men. But the men didn't want his daughters. Amen. So he didn't conform to the lifestyle that was around him. He did not conform to them. So how it reminded me of a time when I was spared. When I moved here to Conroe, I moved from some apartments, and those apartments flooded. So I had a downstairs apartment. So I would have been flooded if I still would have been in that same place. But God spared us, and I thank God for that. I was thinking about that when we were reading. But I didn't conform to a lot of the smoking that was around in my area. They did a lot of smoking marijuana, and we didn't do that, you know. We were different. We were set apart. So I believe that that God saved us because we were set apart. We were different from the ones that were around us, and they didn't want to change. They didn't want to change. Amen. So how do we not conform? How do we not conform? We can hear Romans 10 and 17. Let's see, is it going to Romans 10 and 17? And if we hear, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Well, what does your reading say, Sister Smith, and Amplified?
Romans 10:17.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let me move to that chapter. And I'm going to read it in the New Living, and then I'll move to the Amplified translation.
Okay.
I just encourage you to have several translations of God's holy word, and it just really helps for your mind to be, for your walk concerning God's word to go deeper, to enjoy the benefits of reading God's scripture and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal these rich nuggets in scripture as it breathes and moves within your soul to shape you, mold you, and develop you to become a mature believer in Christ Jesus, that you can defend your faith and stand firm on your belief and your conviction of God's holy word, so that no one can sway you or move you or twist you around to conform to their doctrine. And the word of God is breathing and it's alive. And I tell you, it has just been a blessing to my spiritual growth to have different translations in my library as I sit and study the word of God and just kind of allow the Holy Spirit to move me in such a beautiful way through the word of God. And I pray that you do the same. So reading Romans 10, verse 17, in the New Living Translation, it reads this way. And I'll start at 16. But not every one welcomes the good news.
Mm-hmm.
For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? 17. Yet faith comes from listening to this message of good news, and good news about who? Christ. And that's in the New Living Translation. Now, the Amplified Translation reads this way. Verse 17. Well, I'll start at 16. But they did not all pay attention to the good news of salvation. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. Amen.
Amen. So we are not conform. How do we not conform? By hearing the good news. We have to pay attention and hear the good news, which is the word of God. Amen. Then we have to read Revelations 1 and 3. Revelations 1 and 3. And it reads in NIV, Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those that hear it and take heart what is written in it, because the time is near. What does your version say, Sister Smith?
Revelations
1 and 3.
All right. Revelation 1 and 3 in the New Living states it this way. God blesses the one who reads this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to it and obey what it says. For the time is near when these things will happen. And I like that. I like the way it says, because it says, and he blesses all who listen to it and obey. So we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of us, meaning yield the Holy Spirit and obey what he says. If the Holy Spirit says right, go right, go right. If the Holy Spirit says you need to separate yourself from these particular people, then separate yourself from those particular people, because God can see farther than you can even see. And God knows what the end is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a way for us to come out.
Amen.
And so I just like the way that it's put in Scripture, to listen to what God says through his word by way of the Holy Spirit and obey.
Amen.
Obedience is the way.
Yes.
Sacrificing a lifestyle that is contrary to what God tells us in Scripture on how we are to be in a world but not be of this world. And a set apart life surrounded by sin explains it all. We are set apart, as Minister Lakeisha has indicated, and it just resonates in my soul to know that I am a light, like a city planted sitting on a hill.
Yes.
And that light, of course, is Jesus Christ that lives within inside of us. So the call to the saints, the call to the believers in Christ Jesus, is that we are to conform, submit to the Holy Spirit, and that we are to obey the commands and the promises of God, that we will be useful and beneficial to souls who are not saved, and that we would be useful and beneficial to the body of Christ, that they would be encouraged and revived to continue to work in the vineyard, that others come into the office of salvation. And that is our call.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So you want to continue,
more scriptures.
Or do you go right ahead?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Were you
with
finished?
Three more scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do we not conform? We have to hear, read, and we have to study, which is Acts 17 and 11. Acts 17 and 11, and it reads: Now the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So they didn't take his word for it. They examined the scriptures themselves. So we have to study the scriptures for ourselves. Amen.
Yeah.
Did you want to read it in your version?
That's
Acts 17 and 11.
I was going to say that I know Paul mentored Timothy. And
yes.
When it was time for Paul to hand off the baton to Timothy, that he would continue to grow and go in grace, that
yes.
he would be the leader that Paul mentored him to be. And I know Scripture tells us that we are to study to show thyself approved unto God, not approved
yes.
unto man, but approved unto God.
Right.
And just as the Bereans studied and searched the scriptures all day, and they wanted to
yes.
know. And we are to test the scriptures. We are to search them, and we are to seek the word of God. And if something that comes across your path or just does not seem right, dig into the word of God and share it with others and test with what you're hearing against truth, which is the word of God, and then
Amen.
Share it, because it is good for correction. It is good, and it pierces to the heart of a man. So the word of God is breathing, and it is alive.
Yes. And I have Psalms 119, 9 through 11, and it reads, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And then it says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. That was through 12. And then that was memorized. We should memorize the word of God, so we should hide it in our heart. And the last thing, how we don't conform to the things around us, is we meditate on the word. Meditate. And that's Psalms 1, 2 through 3. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatsoever he does prospers. So we do not conform by hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, by studying the word of God, by memorizing the word of God, and by meditating. So it says that we should pay attention and hear the good news, which is the word of God, listen and obey the prophecy, which is the word of God, study for ourselves and search the scriptures every day, and hide the word in our heart and meditate on the word day and night. That's what I have.
Amen. Amen. This has been a blessing. Now, we are going to pick up this lesson for a part two. Now, part one, or point one, to this teaching series, A Set-Apart Life Surrounded by Sin, point one for you note takers was living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. And
right.
What was the verse that indicates that our body is a living sacrifice?
Romans 12 and 1.
Read that again for the benefit
sure.
of those.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's verse 1.
Amen. Amen. And if you listen real closely in that verse, pleasing to God, holy,
yes.
set apart.
Yes.
This pleases God. So as children of God, as believers in Christ Jesus, as Christ followers, as the body of Christ, we are to live in accordance to what pleases God, not what is detestable to God. Yes, we're in a world that is sin sick, but we are to live lives set apart, holy, separate, and changed. And this is what is pleasing to God as a sweet aroma to his nostrils. And when we do that, my God, he
yes.
will be pleased with us. So we're going to pick this teaching series back up for point two. And point two is renewed mind. And Minister Lakeisha will walk us through scripture, bringing to light how a set-apart life surrounded by sin can be done. It's doable. Living sacrifice. Yes, that's what we are, a living sacrifice, and we are set apart, but she will also bring to light point two, how we are to have a renewed mind. So I encourage you to continue to be faithful to God's word, continue to be faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be sold out, that you know that you know that you know that you have been changed. And always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, they fade away, but the word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you, and remain faithful in God.